Honorable Gajendra Kumar Ponnambalam, you have 20 minutes. Order, please. Honorable Hesha Vitanagate to the chair.
I thank you, Honorable Presiding Member. Of my 20 minutes, I don't think I'll take all of it. If there is any time remaining, please, if you can give that remaining time to Mr. Honorable Siddharthan, I'll be grateful. Honorable Presiding Member, we are discussing today the ministerial statement made by the Honorable Finance Minister after his discussions with the IMF. Now, in that statement, he went on to list a number of mistakes. In fact, he admitted to a number of mistakes that his government had made that also contributed to the current state of the country's economy. Of course, he naturally tried to make out that this wasn't the sole responsibility on this particular government, but rather from consecutive governments that have been in office, and due to the various wrong populist decisions that each of those governments had pursued that ultimately brought us to this situation. But one matter, Honorable Presiding Member, that no one can deny, in fact he himself admitted, was the fact that there were tax reductions, tax cuts that were decided upon as soon as the presidential election was over, and that in fact that decision precipitated the present circumstances. I don't think anybody in this House can deny that reason for the current state of affairs. Whilst most certainly this country has been plagued with debt to a point that it is strangling, but for the economy to be scraping the barrel in the way that it is, it has to be from the tax cuts and basically shrinking of the taxpayers' percentage that caused it. That was, without any exaggeration, the reason why Sri Lanka was downgraded, literally resulting in shutting Sri Lanka from the international markets to raise loans, and we are here today. Now, these decisions, Honorable Presiding Member, were taken despite members of the opposition, in fact all members of the opposition, whichever party that sits in opposition, warning that these are decisions that will eventually lead to severe financial consequences that the country and the people as a whole will be asked to put up with, and that given the COVID situation, that it will be crippling. But no one listened. I remember after the presidential election and when these decisions were taken, at that time a parliamentary election was called for but could not be held. It was being postponed due to the COVID situation. Members of the then opposition, we were not in parliament then, but certainly members of the then opposition, including members from the Northeast, warned the government repeatedly that these decisions will have dire consequences, but obviously the government and the president in particular, considering the margins of his victory, was intoxicated by his popular swing that he chose not to listen to anybody. The business community leading economists wrote letters to him. I can responsibly say, have written letters to him that were not even replied. So that is the cavalier, arrogant fashion with which the president himself conducted affairs. And his government in parliament chose to blindly support everything he did. So when that situation is the reality, and today the people, the ordinary people who are facing the brunt of this crisis have realized what a mistake they made, where the country has been bankrupted by the decisions, primarily precipitated by the decisions of the president and this government. And when they are saying that these people can no longer serve in government and that they must go, and when the government chooses not to listen, when the president chooses not to listen, then obviously they have no choice but to express their displeasure in some other democratic way, and that is what they're doing. They're on the streets. In a democracy, when you have given a mandate for, let's say, 5 years, and when you find that your mandate has been completely violated, usurped, you have been defrauded, then the only other way in which you can in some way try and rectify that situation is by calling back. When you don't have a legal provision to in fact call back your mandate, then the only other way is to get on the streets and to make sure that the people that you had given that mandate to in fact leave. And that is what the people are doing. Now when that is happening, we are here in parliament carrying on a drama. And what is that drama? The reality, honorable presiding member, is that this house is redundant. This house no longer represents the will of the people. And in order to try and pretend that there is some sort of credibility, you have a drama that is being enacted. What is that drama? That is that some of these two-thirds members that belong to the government, until not about 3 or 4 weeks ago, were the strongest allies of the president and this government, blindly supporting, violently supporting. If their words can be put into physical practice, then that is violence. That is the nature with which they backed the president and the government. All of a sudden decided that they wanted to sit in opposition. 1 month ago, honorable presiding member, on this very floor, when I spoke soon after these so-called members announced that they were going to be independent, I told members of this house that it is a drama, that this is not going to be the case. The honorable Jagat Puspakurwara spoke just before me. He is a member seated in opposition today. But everything he said was to ensure that this government continues. What did he say? What is the logic he said? First thing he said is that there is no point in bringing a no confidence motion against the president. That the only way by which you can force the president to quit is by bringing an impeachment motion. You need a two-thirds. That's not practical. Now this is a sitting member, sitting in opposition. And he's saying it's not practical, so therefore don't waste time. You have not brought an impeachment motion. No confidence motion against the government does not have legal value. So that's a lie. It's a hoax. It's just to try and fool the people. Then what's the next issue? Well, if you can bring a no confidence motion that can succeed and that will have legal consequence, it is a no confidence motion against the government. What is he saying for that? Oh, you bring the no confidence motion against the government, but we can't accept it now. The SJB has to tell us what their second plan is. What are they going to do after that? So until they tell us what they are going to do, until the SJB tells us all the details, we are not going to support it. That's very convenient. Why did you cross to the opposition? What are you saying? Read between the lines. This present situation must continue. This present situation must continue without the people having their say. Honorable Presiding Member, 1 month ago I said that this impasse can only be solved by an election. Until you have an election and until the people feel confident in the members of this House, they are not going to leave the streets. They are not going to leave the streets. Today, the opposition, the combined opposition, has a challenge. And what is that challenge? The challenge is that we must be seen to, on the one hand, try to somehow help with the economy, with the very same people who bankrupted this country. And when you have two-thirds of them being members of this House, any member or any party that wants to in some way try and rectify this situation has to be in cahoots with almost half of the two-thirds. You're not going to have a majority in this House without at least half the members who are culpable for bankrupting this country being a part of your own government or supporting you. How on earth can you govern? You can't, Honorable Presiding Member, without having an election. And that is the priority. For as long as you postpone an election, the political crisis that currently prevails will become far worse. Riots will pursue because this House will be seen as not standing to the will of the people and a House that is totally discredited. And when riots happen, what is going to happen? We have a president even today who takes great pleasure in appointing army personnel to ministries, to secretaries. What is going to happen when riots take place, when the people have decided to talk, when they go further because their voices are not being listened to? What are you going to do? You're going to unleash the military. That is what is going to happen. That is what this president and this government is gearing for, Honorable Presiding Member, because there cannot be any other reason. If every single member seated opposite wants to maintain their political credibility, the only way that they can do it under the present circumstances is to support the dissolution of Parliament. Give us the support for that two-thirds so that we can go and tell the President to hold that Parliament election. And I say that you need a Parliament election because even if the President resigns for whatever reasons tomorrow, this House will be asked to elect a new President. How can this House be asked to elect a new president when this House itself is totally redundant? So it is my party's considered view, Honorable Presiding Member, and we will certainly give our fullest support, and we challenge members opposite. We challenge members like the Honorable Pushpa Kumara who just spoke. If they are credible, let us bring a motion to dissolve Parliament. And let us raise that two-thirds. And if you can do that, you can also impeach. If you don't do that, all those who do not support that will be held culpable. And they will be held accountable. Honorable Presiding Member, today, the people, in fact, the Leader of the Opposition, this morning had tweeted that there has to be a system change. There has to be, and what I presume he meant by that, is a radical change in the entirety of the system because the system has failed. Well, the Tamil political parties seated in opposition have always been saying that, not just in this parliament, but every single parliament for the last 70 odd years, that this system that you have is not going to work. Because it is a system that is rejected by the citizenry, a part of the citizenry of this country. The Tamils have rejected this system. Increasingly, you will find the Muslims rejecting everyone that the state, in the name of security or in the name of Sinhala Buddhism or in the name of what have you, whatever fancies the government of the day, will target as enemies, this system cannot protect. For various reasons, this system has failed. And if that system is to change, what is that change? The Honourable Opposition Leader Sajith Premadasa, again a couple of weeks ago, to the great disappointment to our party and to me as well, said that he is going to implement the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. What is the implementation of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution? How are you going to implement it? The 13th Amendment to the Constitution has been in force for the last 34 years. Are you going to do something that you have not done in the last 34 years? You can't implement so-called the 13th Amendment because it is within the unitary state structure. For as long as you remain within the unitary state structure, you cannot devolve power. That is, everyone knows that. The Supreme Court has ruled not once, over 30 times, upholding that principle. So you can't implement the 13th Amendment and be sincere to devolution. You have to change the system. And what is that change? You have to move away from the unitary constitution. Now, I'm raising this issue, Honourable Presiding Member, in this debate with regards to the IMF and with regards to this political financial crisis for a reason. You see, for the first time, I have said this a number of times in this House, I see an opportunity for this reason, that the Sinhalese people, today don't trust their own leaders. I don't say it as a boasting phenomenon, something that I feel happy about, but it is an important situation. They feel that their own leaders has destroyed their country, have destroyed their country. Today there is no war. In the last 13 years, when this country could have gone from strength to strength, you have not. You have in fact gone from pitfall to pitfall. And today you are bankrupt. So, for the first time when they are questioning their leaders and they are angry with their leaders for the decisions that they have taken, why I say there is a golden opportunity is this. We are asking the ordinary Sinhalese people to then just think, if their own leaders have brought them to this level, have lied to them and destroyed this country in the way they have in front of their own eyes, just imagine what they have been telling about the Tamils. Just imagine what they have been telling about what the Tamils stand for. When we say we are for a federal state, these Sinhalese leaders, without batting an eyelid, continue to lie even today. Lie and say that federalism is separation. Ask those questions. Ask those questions, because those are the lies that have destroyed you. Today, your country, today this country is spending almost 19% on defense. 13% directly goes for military. 13% of your annual budget. And that is supposed to increase by 2% every year. That is the nature of the military that you have created. This is after the war. Military expenses at its highest, even more than during the war. And Honourable Presiding Member, what you spend for healthcare and education is less than 10%. How can you justify that? Is this sustainable? But even today, despite the fact that this country's economy has been destroyed, and that you really have to go begging to people that you considered your enemies in the last, like India, even today, not a word is being spoken about the ridiculous way in which the military is being maintained and defense expenditure is being maintained. Why is that? These are the questions that the ordinary Sinhalese people must ask themselves. If they can be lied to in front of their own eyes in the way that they have been, just imagine the lies that these leaders have told about the Tamils, about what the Tamils are asking for. And if they don't ask that, if they don't ask those questions, and if they don't make the right decisions in that election that we say must happen, then nothing can save this country, Honourable Presiding Member. And as far as I'm concerned, that will be the last chance. That will be the last chance. When my father was assassinated by the Chandrika Kumar Dunga government, honorable presiding member, members of my family who had settled abroad,
please wind up.
Members of my family who were settled abroad asked me and my family, my mother and my sister, to come abroad, to declare asylum and to come abroad. But despite the fact that my father was assassinated, something in me, despite all the evidence to say that this system is not going to be changed, something in me said that it is the leaders that are at fault, that the Sinhalese people have not been told the truth, that one day if they actually can have an opportunity to know the truth, that they might change the right, take the right decision. That is that moment that I thought then has come. And if this opportunity, in this moment, if the Sinhalese people don't open their eyes and if they don't accept the fact that Sri Lanka is not just for the Sinhala Buddhists, that it is for the Tamils, it is for the Muslims, and it is for the upcountry Tamils and the Burghers and whoever.
Please wind up.
If you don't change the system accordingly to recognize that there is the Sinhala-speaking nation and the Tamil-speaking nation in this country, and if you don't change that system to one of a federal nature, then this country will fail. It will fail because you will have to continue your defense expenditure. It will fail because a newer diaspora, a newer Tamil society, a more modern society will find modern ways of trying to undermine the state because they consider the state as the entity that is against them, that is against their right. All this while we can say that it is the leaders, but today when the Sinhalese people themselves in front of their own eyes have realized that they have been hoodwinked, they have been lied to, they have been defrauded by their own leaders, there is no way that they can now turn around and tell that the Tamils have not been wrong. If they are in fact going to turn around and say that the Tamils have not been wronged, then there is a racist agenda.
Thank you. I sincerely hope,
honorable presiding member, as an individual who was born and bred in Colombo in the south, as an individual who has some of my closest friends as being Sinhalese,
honorable
Buddhists,
time is up.
And
thank you.
With whom I have a lot of closeness, I sincerely hope that last
Vinadi Namega Kalyaktia.
Honorable presiding member, let me at the outset, we are debating on the speech made by Honorable Ali Sabri regarding the current situation and also pertaining to his visit to the IMF. But at the outset, let me congratulate on my friend Honorable Gajendra Ponnambalam on his speech. I think he made certainly very valid points. I certainly agree with him that we really need to look at how the country is being governed. And if a new constitution is in order, certainly we can look at a new constitution. But I also do believe that we need to work within the framework of the existing constitution if we are to look at constitutional changes. But the core of his speech was on federalism. And I do believe that the devolution of power is a necessity, and I have also, as a member of the Provincial Council in which you and I both served, but I also think that we need to do it in steps or in stages. Because we need to understand that there is mistrust between communities, particularly the Tamils and the Sinhalese. So a devolution of power, I do agree, but we need to do it in stages. And I think that is something we should seriously look at. But I also want to speak in general about this current situation of the country, Honourable Presiding Member. And I'm not the one to give advice or so, but I do think that in the morning that there's a responsibility on the parliamentary members and the Speaker on how we conduct ourselves We saw that we don't pay any attention to the standing orders. We don't pay any attention to parliamentary traditions. We want to try and make our. We want to make sure that our voice is heard. We don't pay any courtesy to other members who want to make sure that they are who wants to express their views. So I certainly hope that you know this country at this juncture needs some discipline. That discipline will come from Parliament itself. Honourable Presiding Member, pertaining to the current situation, the Foreign Ministry under Professor G.L. Pieris has been embarked and been working on with the Finance Ministry in order to see how we can best get this country out of this situation. We have approached friendly countries bilaterally, seeking help in bridging finance and in areas such as in assistance to provide us with medicine and other necessities which prevail. We have also reached the multilateral organizations, and we have also reached the friendly countries. There's a process of SDR, special drawing rights, and we understand that if some countries have excess SDRs, then certain other countries might be able to utilize those SDRs. I yesterday had a meeting with the Honourable Janaka Vakkumbara to see how best we can initiate the action if there is a food shortage, how we can initiate any action pertaining to getting some food from the SAARC food bank. So it's not that these things have not been done, but as the Honourable Finance Minister stated, that I think that you know at this juncture, it is very critical that everybody works together. I don't think we can come out of this situation if parties don't come to work together. What we debated most of today and most of yesterday was pertaining to the vote on the Deputy Speaker. People were saying that there were deals within politics. I think that you know politics in general is full of deals, and politics will never be based on morality. The pertaining to our position pertaining to selecting the deputy speaker was that we had already given that position to the SLFP, and we took the position that if SLFP nominates any candidate, that we will not oppose that. But we know that perfectly aware that the SLFP wants to conduct themselves in the opposition, and we are completely all right with that. And as pertaining to the confidence of whether the Prime Minister enjoys the confidence of this House, I think no confidence motion has been put forward. So I think we should take the no confidence motion into debate sooner rather than later. But let's see what will be the outcomes of the no confidence motion. One outcome will be the government can retain its majority. What then? Would the ground situation change if the government retains its majority? I don't think so. Another situation is that the government can have a majority, but nonetheless not have the 113. Then what happens? Or the other situation is that the leader of the opposition can be invited to form a government. So I think it's fair that the SLFP is making that request. If they succeed in a no-confidence motion, what will be the next step? Because we need to have a legitimate government controlling the state of affairs. Otherwise, this country will move into anarchy. I also think that there is a parliamentary responsibility at this juncture. The Honourable Speaker can discuss with the party leaders and maybe have some parliamentary committees to see how we can bring dollars into this country or how we can send people overseas so we can take all these measures. Yeah. Now, as I was planning on talking on the restructuring, because the restructuring itself is going to take a lot of pains. A good way to, a good future indication is that, you know, if you look, compare ourselves with the countries such as Ecuador, or if you look at the Caribbean countries, there has been debt restructuring which has been done. And most of the debt restructuring, if you have a fair assessment, has been somewhat, with the results are sometimes positive, and at other times we cannot say that the intended results took place. So this is a process in which we all need to work together. I think even if the SJB and the government gets together, and if the JUP does not get together or form a government, then I don't think we will get out of this situation. Because we know, although they have three members in this House, we know that they have sizable control in the trade unions. And then what will that result in? If we form a national government without the JVP, what will that result in? So I think at this juncture, if everyone can join in some form of government, and if even the TNA and Honorable Gajen Ponnambalam can join in the government and bring that legislation which you speak of, and if we then we don't need to have another election, but or we can have an election after a stipulated period of time. But at this juncture, is going for an election might not be the most practical solution. Election itself costs something of the to the amount of 10 billion rupees. Do we have the resources to go to the election is also a question. So I think we need not wait. We can bring these the legislative changes which the people are talking about. If anybody who can command the majority of this House, Honourable Prime Minister has said that, you know, he will be more than glad to resign. But if he resigns, what next? If he resigns, what next? So all I'm asking from the opposition members and the government members is that we need to face this situation with a plan. Thank you for your time.
Suthi, Milata Garu. Hekta Puham Mantri Tuma Utwana Vinadi Hataka Kalyak Tiyana
Mulasane Bona Karu Mantri Tumani Visheshanma Ada Velawa Laba Dunnata Kathawak Karanna Neme Balaporuttu Wen Katha Karagara Inna Velawak Neme Meka Mokada Hetuwa Rate Minisu Siyalu Denama Eliyata Bahala Emisut Gutti Ganawa Rate Minisuta Kandath Na Kathanaayaka Tumata Enna Kiyanna Eliyata Bahala Kathanaayaka Tumata Kiyanna Kiyanna Parliamentuwa Monada Karanna Kiyala Ekko Parliamentuwa Nawathanna Ona Ehema Naththam Parliamentuwa Isuranna Ona Ehema Naththam Vishwasa Bankaya Genalla Meke Deken Ekak Karanna Ona
Vishwasa Bankaya Dan
Kiyala Mevela Me Rate Karanna Ona Welawa Kathanaayaka Tumata Enna Kiyanna Ehilla Kiyanna Kiyanna Mokada Karanna Kiyala Kathanaayaka Tumata Enna Kiyanna Minisuta Gahana Enama Wedai Kathanaayaka Tumata Medenna Enna Kiyanna අපි හැම දෙනෙකුටම අවස්ථාවෙන් හැම දෙනෙකුටම කතා කරමු.
අදාස
ගන්න අනිත්‍යයන් කතා කරගෙන මොකද කරන්න කියලා අනිත්‍යයන්ට වෙලාවල ආඩෙන්න බාන වෙලාව දෙන්න.
කතා කරන්න කියලා.
කතා නායකට
එන්න කියන්න.
කාලේ දීලා මේ අනිත්‍යයන්ට ඉඩ දෙන්න මේ බයිල කතා කරමින් ඉන්න බෑ පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ. මේ බයිල කියන වෙලාව නෙවෙයි. රටේ ප්‍රශ්නේ විසඳන්න ඕන. ඔය විසඳ බංගේ. මොන විසඳන්නද?
දෙන්න
පොයින්ට් අපෝට් එතුමාට මගේ වෙලාවෙන් දෙන්න
ගරු බුද්ධික මට කතානායකතුමාට එන්න කියන්න බෑ කතානායකතුමාට
එන්න
පුළුවන් මම
මේ රටේ මේ වගේ ප්‍රශ්නයක් තියෙනකොට කතානායකතුමාට
හරියන්නේ
නැහැ ඒක කතානායකතුමා කාමරේ ඉඳලා හරියන්නේ
නැහැ කතානායකතුමාට එන්න විදියක් නැහැ
ගරු බුද්ධික
ගරු සභාපතිතුමනි මේ බලන්න Facebook එකේ තවත් නාලිකාවල සජීවීව යනවා මේ මොහොතේ. හරි මේ එළියේ ගහනවා මේ තරුණයන්ට අරගල කරුවන්ට ඉතා තිරස්චීන විදිහට මේ මොහොතේ කඳුළු ගෑස්සලා ජල ප්‍රහාරය එල්ල කරනවා. හරි දැන් මේක මොකද ඊළඟ තත්ත්වේ? මේ නරක තත්ත්වය ඇති වෙන්න ඉඩ දෙන්න එපා. හරි මේ කතානායක ගෙන්නන්න. නැත්නම් මේ පාර්ලිමේන්තුව කුඩුපට්ටම් කරලා දාන තත්ත්වයක් ඇති වෙනවා. අපිට මේ කාලකන්ණි තත්ත්වය ඇති කරන්න එපා රටේ. ඒකයි කියන්නේ. ඒ නිසා මේ රටේ වෛරයක් ඇති වෙලා තියෙන දැනටමත් ඒ වෛරයට බාධා කරලා තියෙන තත්ත්වය ඇති කරන්න. කතානායකන වගකීම හැමදෙරුනේ පළවෙනි පේලි දෙක තුනේ එක එක්කනේ මොකද මේ තත්ත්වය? ඒ නිසා ගරු මුලාසලාරුට සභාපතිතුමනි කරුණාකරලා කතානායක ගෙන්නන්න කතානායක ගෙන්නන්න මේ වකිලතුමා ඇමතිවරු ගෙන්නන්න මේ මේ මොහොතේ මේ සියලු දෙනාට බලන්න පුළුවන්
මන්ත්‍රීතුමාලා වාඩි වෙලා එනිසා මේකට මන්ත්‍රීතුමාලා වාඩි වෙලා මේ කතා එක 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 මන්ත්‍රීවරේ කතා කරන්න ගරු මන්ත්‍රීතුමාලා වාඩි වෙලා එක එක මන්ත්‍රීවරේ කතා කරන්න ගරු
ජේසි අලවතුරු මන්ත්‍රීතුමා
ගරු මූලාසන මන්ත්‍රීතුමනි ගරු මූලාසන මන්ත්‍රීතුමනි දැන් ඇත්තටම මේ தත්ත්වය තුල පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ අපි කතා කරනව නෙමෙයි අපි කතානායක තුමා බාර දීලා තියෙන විශ්වාසමංග දෙකක් ජනාධිපතිරට විරුද්ධවත් ඒ වගේම ආණ්ඩුවට විරුද්ධවත් අපිට අද පක්ෂනායක රැස්වීමේදී ලබා දීලා තියෙන පිළිතුරු අපිට සායමිකටවත් වෙන්න බෑ අද එළියේ ජනතාව ඇවිල්ලා මේ වෙනකොට එයාලට කඳුළු ගෑස් ගන්නවා පහර දෙනවා අපිට අවශ්‍යයි වෙලාවක් අපිට දිනයක් අවශ්‍යයි අපි කතානායක තුමා ඉල්ලන්නේ අපිට අවශ්‍යයි දිනයක් කවද්ද මේ විශ්වාසමංගේ සාකච්ඡා කරන්න ලබන සතියේ දිගටම පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ තියෙන මේක සාකච්ඡා කරන්න එළියේ ඉන්න ජනතාවට රටේ ජනතාවට අපි විසඳුමක් දෙන්න ඕනි මේ පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ රැස්වලා වැඩක් වෙන්නේ නැහැ නැත්තම්
මම කතානායකතුමා දැන් ගරු හරින් ප්‍රනාන්දුමන්තුතුමා
අම කියන්නයි හලෝ මේ ගරු සභාපතිතුමනි කරුණාකරලා කතානායකතුමා මෙතනට එන්නේ නැත්තම් අපි කතානායකතුමාව අද අඩස්සිය ඇතුළේ තියාගන්නවා ඒ නිසා කරුණාකරලා මලක තියාගන්න කතානායකර ගෙදර යන්න දෙන්නේ නැහැ කරුණාකරලා විශ්වාස බංගෙන දවස දෙනකම් මිනිසුන් අපි ඇතුළට ගේනවා මේ පාර්ලිමේ අද ඇවිල්ලා ගිනව මයික් එකේ ගිනව මෙන්න මුංගේ ෆොටෝ මේ කතා කරන්නේ මෙච්චර රටේ මිනිසුන්ට ගානවා
ගරු තාරක බාලසූරියන්තුමා
ගරු මූලාසන මන්ත්‍රීතුමනි මං හිතන්නේ දැන් ඔබතුමා මේ පුටුවේ ඉන්නේ එතකොට ඔබතුමාගේ තීන්දුව ගන්න පුළුවන් මොකෝ මේ ඉම්පීච්මන්ට් එකක් කරෙන්ද ඔය පුටුවේ ඉන්න කෙනෙක්ට තීන්දුව ගන්න පුළුවන් ඉතින් මේ නාඩගම කරන එක නවත්තන්න දැන් ඔබතුමත් ඉන්නේ ඔය පක්ෂේ වෙන මේ එතුමත් ඉන්නේ අර පක්ෂේ
විනාඩි 10කට කල් තබනවා ඇති වී තියෙන තත්ත්වය හේතු කොටගෙන
අද මොහොතකට කලින් ඇති වුණු මේ සිද්ධියේදී අපි කතා වුණු පරිදි ලබන සඳුදා පෙරවරු 10ට පක්ෂ නායක රැස්වීමක් අපි කැඳවලා තියෙනවා. ඒ රැස්වීමේදී අපි සාකච්ඡා කළා හැකිනම් ඒ සතියම තුල හෝ ඊළඟ සතියේ 17 වෙනිදා නොයරදීම අපි පාර්ලිමේන්තු සභාව රැස් වෙනවා. ඒ වගේම එළියේ සිදුවෙන සිදුවීම් ගැන අපි ඇත්ත වශයෙන්ම කනගාටුව පළ කරනවා. පොලිසියේ රාජකාරිය කරන්න ගිහිල්ලා පොලිසිල් ධාරීන්ට හෝ ඒ වගේම සාමකාමී උද්ඝෝෂණි අපි උද්ඝෝෂකයන්ව තිල්ලා හිටනෝ සාමකාමීව මේ උද්ඝෝෂණය කරන්න ඒකේ අවුලක් නැහැ. මෙතෙක් කල් එහෙම කිසිම ප්‍රශ්නයක් ඇති වුණේ නැහැ. ඒ නිසා ඒ අනුව කරන්න අපි මේ එළියේ සිද්ධුවේදී ඇති සිද්ධිය සම්බන්ධයෙන් පොලිසියේ සම්පූර්ණ වාර්තාවක් අපි ලබන සතියේ පොලිස්පතිවරයාගෙන් කැඳවනවා. එතෙක් ඔබ සියලු දෙනාම ගැත් දැක් උනන්දුවට මගේ ස්තුතිය පළ කරමින් පාර්ලිමේන්තුව මේ මාස 13 වෙනි දින පෙරවරු 10 දක්වා කල් තබනවා. 17